I think I still use it. It might just not be in my view, but that one, what, ad blocker, I
Oh
think
yeah,
that
that's
was
true.
one that was getting close at certain points to like necessary. It would block ads on YouTube, Google, websites, and I think it was called ad blocker. And then Google and all these guys were losing money because of them. And I think they either bought them or killed them or sued them or something. I don't
All of the
know.
above. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Mortgage Tech Talks. Back from my hiatus. Probably was a really good episode. I tend to be the one that rambles, so it's probably the best episode yet with you and Steven there. But
I guess we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what the numbers say. That would be humbling. Maybe it'll just turn into what would be Mass Tech Talks or something. That would be the MTT instead of Mortgage Tech Talks, or I don't know.
I would honestly say we missed you. We did talk about you a little bit at the beginning, and I think we mentioned that you were one day into having a baby or 2 days, or I can't remember when we recorded it, but it was good. It was a fun meeting. Our second guest, we're going to keep that up. I'm about to head out for a couple weeks for other reasons, not baby, but facial surgery. So, but we're keeping it going. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. And so I guess this will be a rarity, the two of us doing this in the next month or so, but we wanted to get it in. I'm still off actually. And I got this baby next to me, 1 week old, but I think I mentioned this before. I said, well, the show must go on.
Yeah.
Of all things, even if it's a screaming baby, you know, the Mortgage Tech Talks come first. So here we are. And we're going to dive right into it here. I know we had some guests, we had some good discussions there. I think for this episode, we want to kind of get back to some really kind of practical tips. I think we had some interesting conversations, but I think part of what we want to do with this podcast is really inform people of how they can use tech in very kind of practical ways. And so what we want to dive into today, what I want to dive into today is browser extensions. You know, browser extensions are kind of a cool thing. I always think they're going to take off more than they have. Like to me, a browser extension seems like such a good idea because it's right there. Everyone uses a browser. It's right there. And it's just this thing that adds on and enhances your experience. I haven't seen them take off. It's not like an inbox where you couldn't live without it. But there are these extensions that are popping up. There's ones that we use. There's ones that we see a lot of our brokers using. So we're going to talk about the popular ones more and more. But I do think this is a trend. This is just my personal opinion. I don't know if you agree, Mass, where these browser extensions are going to start to be used much more. Because it just seems so native to me, so natural for someone to just pick up and use these. Do you agree with that? I mean, what's your thoughts on these extensions?
It's a good point. I honestly, I'm looking here and I use Chrome or an offshoot of Chrome. So I think that's probably something important to realize in this. It's like not all browsers are the same with their extensions, but yeah. Most people use Chrome these days. Anyways, I have six.
You have six, yeah.
Or pinned. And so I guess to your point, the benefit is huge in the sense that like you can use it within the same tab. And a lot of times the tab has relevant data instead of opening a new window or even a new tab. And so,
yeah,
I love them. And I use three of them quite heavily. And some of them are kind of overlap of what we talked about today. So they should get more uptick. And maybe it's just people don't understand them or they're worried about security or they're on some old browser. I think all of them have extensions now, though. I think even Edge, which, funny enough, we've had a few people lately on our mortgage product using Edge saying the login's weird and all that. And we're like, stop using Edge.
Oh, no. And having errors.
They got rid of Explorer and they made Edge. Yeah. So
I thought they got rid of Edge. Oh, no, they revamped it.
Microsoft is still trying in the browser world.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You're right, though, right? Where it's like, hey, maybe we'll just get into a couple examples and kind of illustrate how, you know, as you're using your browser, which people now use basically all day, every day, it's the main thing people use, you can have these add-ons. And I guess it's kind of just like souping up your car a little bit. So it's not essential. You can still drive your car. You can still use your browser without it. And maybe that's why they haven't been taken off. I don't know if they're more luxuries than essentials. They're more, I guess, what people call vitamins than painkillers. I don't know. But let's get into the discussion. Let's get into some examples and maybe it'll come to light. So the first one I'll put it forward just because this is the one that I think in the brokers I talk to is the most used is a password manager. So, you know, back in the day, I still think a lot of people do. Maybe you have an Excel spreadsheet. Maybe you have just the same password you use everywhere. But more and more, that's becoming not really usable because websites, I know Velocity, for example, is a good example of this. They make you change your password like every 30 days or something, like quite often. And so to be updating that spreadsheet, maybe you could do that. That's a little less secure. But to use the same password is not available. So a password manager, what it does, it is basically, it's like that Excel sheet, but super secure, right? So it's a place you log in, you have everything there. You can load up, okay, for Google, this is my password. For Facebook, this is my password. For FileLogix, this is my password. You load them all up. And the really great thing, and this is where it kind of comes into the browser, is that when you go to FileLogix's homepage, the extension recognizes that. It says, hey, you're on FileLogix. You saved this password for FileLogix. Do you want to use it? And you kind of just hit click, boom, boom, copy pastes it in all for you. Pretty cool. It kind of, depending on the extension that you use, kind of auto populates it and you're in, right? And we've been using those a bunch. We use a couple examples of different ones, but that's a starting point where I think a lot of the brokers we work with actually use that password manager. Is that what you see too, Mess?
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of these extensions have something in common where they can pull information from the specific tab or push information into that specific tab, which is really handy. And so in the password example that you just said, it's smart enough to know you're on ABC. It can fill the password. If you go to a site that maybe you haven't been to in a while and you go sign in, it'll actually look and see if that password exists. And if it doesn't, it'll say, do you want to add this to the password vault?
Yeah, you could add it too. Right.
And then even further, what you can do with these things, the password ones, and we do this a lot more now just because we're trying to be more security conscious, is you can get the password keeper to create your own password. And you can tell it, I want it 15 digits, and it'll make some friggin' thing you can't memorize, which is good, right? So
yeah,
there's a bunch of them out there though. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and it's all right there. So yeah, you log into a new website too, same idea, right? Okay, I have to think of a password. And now they say, okay, it's got to be 10 characters and it's got to have 3 exclamation marks, it's got to have numbers. And sometimes it's difficult if you're using the same password. Oh, I always use password 123, but oh, I need more things. These things are great. You basically can take those criteria, put it into these managers, and it spits out, hey, here's an example, saves it for you. You don't have to remember it. Yeah, the other great thing about it too is that we're using this more and more too, is it's great for sharing too. So if you, for whatever reason, you share your password with your spouse, with your team member, we always talk about how email is the least secure part of any part of your whole tech stack. Don't send anything valuable over email because it's the least secure. So you get it into these services. So we use Zoho Vault, so use that as an example. I can load that up. I have that here. I have my repository. We have thousands of passwords now. And if you need to use one of my passwords, like this past week when I've been out, I can just click a button. It can send it to you instead of over email. It's much more secure. It's behind the firewall. It's all those great things. So it's a pretty top used one. And I think for good reason. I mean, it's pretty slick and they've gotten pretty good with it.
Yeah. And a lot of them have mobile apps and all of that too. They're not just browser extensions, but that's honestly the fastest and best way to use it. And we both probably use it 10 times a day, honestly. So
yeah,
those are honestly the biggest benefits. Just on the sharing piece, one of the cool things with these are you can actually share a password without actually sharing the password. Does that make sense? Where like you can say, hey, Jenna, you can log into my account, and she can hit the button in the browser extension to log in. She never actually sees what the password is.
Stays hidden. It's only on her keyboard, basically.
Yeah. So that's a cool one, especially when we onboard staff and stuff. And I mean, just in general, you may not want people to see the actual password and write it down or whatever.
But in theory, Jenna could copy and paste that into like a Word doc though, right? Is that how it works?
I guess it does store in your clipboard is what you're saying.
Yeah,
it must be. So maybe it's not as secure as I thought. But
Jenna's got to be a savvy user. 9 times out of 10, they're just going to copy whatever. I don't care what it is, right? So
yeah.
Okay, well, let's do a couple more examples and then kind of maybe just summarize, say, okay, well, you know, where are these things being used? Because we're starting to see the trend, right? Hopefully, where it's like, okay, well, these scenarios where it is very much embedded in the process, it's easier to do it through an extension than it is to do separately. Maybe that's really where these things are being used. So did you have another example, Matt? So I know you said you have 6 there. I have 3 myself, but
one of the ones that I use quite a bit, it's like a snipping tool or a screenshotting tool.
What's that called, just for the folks?
This one is called Annotator.
Just called Annotator. Okay.
Yeah. So it's made by Zoho, which is the stack we use. But the part I really like about it is you can actually just with one click take a screenshot of just this browser tab, or you can highlight things and then you can quickly edit the picture that you've taken. And so those do exist on desktop.
Yeah. Mac has like a native one, right? So
yeah.
So that's going to be my question. Yeah. Because I do the native one and it's okay. What I don't like about the native one, I can take the screenshot, it's there, but then I want to like highlight it, or I want to put like an arrow in, or I want to do that sort of thing. And that's a bit painful.
Yeah.
I have to do about 3 clicks with the Mac one. You have to put in a box and adjust the box. It's not so good.
That's the biggest thing with this one is,
I guess it's called Annotator, right? So I mean, you got to get it annotated.
Exactly. Yeah. And now they've got video built in and all that stuff. But like you can take a screenshot, it immediately goes into an editor, like to put circles or arrows or whatever. then you can actually download it or just copy it to your clipboard and throw it into something, your email or whatever, which I find really handy. So within a few seconds, I can get something out of there. That's a big one I use many times a day again. Yeah,
we use it a lot, obviously, for us because, you know, with the tech that we have the browser open again. So you just click, you can get it, draw the arrow, send it. And I guess you see a lot of brokers using that sort of, I mean, I know you said it was more a personal one. I think where I see or at least heard people using it is, you know, when there's very something specific the borrower has to in the computer. So a lot of the times it's like CRA typed, okay, you need your CRA docs. Okay, click here, then click here, then click here. It's through that CRA portal that people have to kind of navigate to get their NOAs. Have you seen other brokers use it in other scenarios?
No, honestly, that's probably the biggest one I see brokers using it. And honestly, the rest of my browser tabs are pretty personal, like dark modes and stuff like that. We're not going to talk about that today, but probably the next one I see a lot of people using, including brokers, and I use one a lot. That's one of my six. It's a dialing software.
Yeah.
So not every broker has their phone integrated with their computer, but we do. So apps like RingCentral, Zoho Voice, even Zoom has one now. There's all kinds of them, hundreds of them out there. And so basically you can call a client through the internet, more specifically through your computer. And so if you're using CRMs, which are in the browser, or even if you're just on a website, you can just click to dial from that browser extension and it rings. You can actually just open up in these browser tabs like keypad and type in a phone number and call them. So that's a really handy one as well.
Yeah, and I guess the whole point of it being native to a browser too is, I think we use the same one, Zoho Voice. I think RingCentral is a very popular one too.
Yeah.
It's okay, you get your application back, FileLogix, they have all their details written in on the browser. And there's a phone number there. The extension is smart enough. It says, that's a phone number. Okay. And then there's sometimes, at least for ours, a little logo beside it.
Yeah.
And then you can click that and go, do, 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 do. It kind of dials it for you. And so again, as we think about, you know, how do you kind of adopt these things? It's okay. It's much easier to use it in the context of the browser than it is, you know, just more generally, right? Okay, click, click, having to type it in maybe on your cell phone. It's one click, click the call, and you're having that phone call. Yeah, and I guess honestly for this one, it's a bit of chicken and the egg a little bit because of course for this to be useful, you have to use these internet phones. I mean, I see a lot of big teams use it because it's like, hey, five people, you know, I have three underwriters and there's two agents and they're all calling the same person. So we want to see everyone's phone calls, what's going on. That makes a lot of sense. What do you see for like more the solo broker? It's more maybe a tangent, a side path, but just curious. You see a lot of people using these internet phones. I mean, I totally get it. Like the phone's just so easy. You can call, you can text. That's how you get your referrals. Everything's right there. What do you see? I see a little bit of both. I mean, my mother-in-law's in town right now. She's a broker, actually. And she's running her whole day. She's got her phone. She's calling people, texting them, call, whatever. And it seems to work really well. But I just can't, in my head, say, okay, is there scalability issues here? What happens if you do want to take a week off? You really can't. What do you see, Mass? Do you see the same thing?
I see more and more using the digital phones these days.
Yeah.
And usually the tech forward people obviously do it first, even if they're a one man show.
The people we interact with are the tech forward ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been spending some time in other industries lately, and like depending on compliance and stuff, it's necessary to have the call recording and notes about the call and when you made the call somewhere central. And to have it on your phone is not the greatest. It should be in a CRM where the contact record is and the mortgage is. And so I think people are getting that, the benefits outside of just efficiency, it's also compliance. So I am seeing more one-man shops, and a lot of these tools are like 20, 30 bucks a month, maybe 50, like they're not much.
Yeah. I honestly think though, I mean, maybe circling it back around to the browser extension conversation too, I think it really does come down to painkillers versus vitamins. I do think the tech forward folks, maybe the folks listening to this, they get those benefits of a vitamin. Right. Okay. I can get that in there and it's logged and it's nice. And if I ever need to go back, but that's a nice to have.
It is. Yeah.
As soon as you cross the chasm, because I know, you're working a lot with financial advisors where it's a compliance thing. And if they get audited, they need to have it. That's a painkiller at that point. Yeah. Right. Because if you don't have it, oh my God, the amount of pain that you have to go through just to do it. And so, you know, that's on the phone call side of things. But I think now bringing it all back around to the browser extension, we talked about these three different ones. Most of them really are vitamins at this point. And maybe that's the takeaway, just to say that, hey, maybe these things haven't taken off or exploded as maybe I would have thought, is because they're still in that category. Go back to the car example. You can still drive your car even if you don't have these tricked out wheels that these extensions might provide. They're cool and they do provide efficiencies, but they aren't essential. So maybe that's really what's missing, is that painkiller browser extension. I haven't seen one yet.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just my ignorance. So if anyone's listening knows one where it's like, this saves me pain, let us know. But I don't think I've seen one yet.
I think a lot of these apps are desktop compliant as well. And so the browser does give some efficiencies, but you can use it on desktop. As I'm saying that, I think I still use it. It might just not be in my view. But that one, what, ad blocker, I think?
Oh, yeah, that's
that was
true.
One that was getting close at certain points to like necessary. It would block ads on YouTube, Google, websites, and
I think
it was called ad blocker. And then Google and all these guys were losing money because of them. And I think they either bought them or killed them or sued them or something. I don't know.
All the above. Yeah, that's true. And that was getting to be a little bit painkiller because there was a while there, you go to a certain website. I don't think websites are even formatted, but you would go and there'd be like five pop-ups. Right. It's like, I can't even, the article's like a third of my screen and the ads are. And so that was maybe a good point, Maz, or that was really the one where most people used it. And, you know, you'd get a new computer, you download the browser, and then you get ad block. I could remember doing that because it was essential. And maybe websites have evolved, or maybe Google has cracked down, or maybe these tools have been bought and deprecated or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's less so now, but maybe that's a good example to say, okay, well, that was the closest we got and we got a taste for it. So maybe in the next couple of years, we'll see another one like that. But I guess I'm going to put that in the bucket of curiously waiting to see when that happens. Because at least for now, the couple that we talked about, so the password manager, Zoho Vault or Bitwarden, those are a couple good ones. The dialer, so Ring Central Zoho Voice, another good one. And then the annotator, another popular one. Those are more vitamins. We do really like them, really suggest using them. But I don't think they're in that category of painkiller just yet.
No, I think you're right. They are time savers, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Opening up a desktop app or whatever is... it'll save you time. I can't say how long, maybe minutes a day, maybe hours, but probably not. But they are really nice. And I think more and more, like the browser is the most important app on most people's computers. I know they might say, oh, PhiLogix or Finmo or Velocity, but really without the browser, you're not doing any of that. So
that's how you access all those services, right? They're not desktop anymore.
Yeah.
Well, now you got to run and I think I got to heat up a bottle or something like that. Oh, man. I think we'll wrap it up there. This is a quick one, but we wanted to get it in because I know the fans have been just really done for another episode. So here it is. Please leave any comments. If you have great extensions that you really like, please leave them in the comment section. And thanks so much for listening and for your attention.
See you next time.